your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
That's right, it's time for Spaced Out, and I'm joined on the phone by Stardome extraordinaire, should we call you that, Josh Aldeke. How are you, Josh?
I'm good, I like that title.
What did I say, Stardome extraordinaire, is that?
Extraordinaire, yeah, I love that.
What is your official job title there at the Stardome?
On my email, I think it's astronomy educator and content developer.
It's not as sassy, but it does sound more professional.
Yeah, I like extraordinaire, we'll go with that.
Okay, we'll stick with that. What sort of, I lined this up perfectly because the song that we just listened to was Joe Gatt, and the song's called Pale Blue Dot.
Oh, gorgeous. Reference for Carl Sagan.
Lovely, yes. I love a bit of Carl Sagan. Ah, anyway, we could, before we get sidetracked on to talk about how much we love Carl Sagan, we've got a couple of stories today. China launches their Chang'e 6 mission?
Chang'e.
To bring moon samples back to Earth.
Yeah, they had a pretty cool launch for China again. So they've continued the lunar exploration program. They've launched their sixth mission, which is part of the Chang'e program. So Chang'e is the Chinese, the moon goddess. And this mission basically plans to land on the far side of the moon and actually bring rock samples back from the far side. And they'll be the first country to do so. So it's a pretty big mission, and it would be quite, you know, significant if they're successful.
I know we've talked about this, but I mean, what is this returning to the moon and again and again? I mean, what are we going to get from, you know, the moon rocks? What are we getting there?
Yeah, and like it's that whole thing of the new space race. You know, we've got America and China kind of both rushing back to the moon. I think because America has been quite steadfast as to their plans, you know, they want to send people back to the moon to have a long-term base and a colony. I think it's a bit of a laying a stick in the flag thing where they want to kind of assert their, you know, somewhat space dominance. But I think China is, you know, really challenging that, and that plays back into Earth politics, essentially, as to, you know, these two superpowers that are kind of, you know, vying over which one's going to have more influence. And I think China is really wanting to kind of assert that they are a really big player in space, and this is another one of those missions.
I mean, so it's one of those things where it's like going up to collect some rocks, but also just be like, see, we can do it too.
Yeah, and, you know, they have done it before. I mean, they brought rock samples back in 2020, and that was the first time in decades that anyone had done it. They've also already landed on the far side, so they were already the first country to do that. So if they can bring rock samples back from the far side, again, they're the first country to do that. And I think it's, you know, it's really impressive because all of these missions from China, they've all been successful. But we've had, you know, we've had the two American missions this year. One of them failed, and the other one landed on its side, you know. So I think China's kind of taking a book out of America's playbook as to what not to do. And I think they're really putting resources in to make sure that they are successful because they have been, you know, six missions in a row.
I mean, I'm no astronaut, but if I know what not to do, it's land on your side. I reckon avoid that, probably.
Yeah, land upright.
Land upright, first of all. Get right side up. I'm also looking at these snazzy new... SpaceX has revealed their new suit for the upcoming Polaris Dawn private space flight. And I've got to say, they look very, very sci-fi, very futuristic, quite streamlined. Mm. I know that you've been watching the show For All Mankind. I do wonder about that kind of, you know, private industry element of this. You know, this, yeah, sure, the suit looks sweet. Is it going to do the job?
Yeah, it's, the design is amazing. I think it's based off the suits that we already see. But the difference with the suit is it's designed, it's basically, when you talk about space suits, you've got two types of suits. You have a suit that you wear in your spacecraft, which, you know, if there's a loss of pressure, it protects you. And then you have a suit which is used to actually go out into the vacuum of space. And this suit is designed to do that. So it's based off the ones that they already use. But as opposed to the old NASA ones, which we see, like, on the space station, the very, like, big and bulky ones with, you know, the giant backpacks, this is a super streamlined, you know, sleek-looking suit. And they basically get away with making it a lot thinner is because they're not going to have all the life support systems on the astronaut and those big backpacks. They're going to have it basically like through an umbilical cord, so that's going to be going back into the actual spacecraft. I think these suits were actually designed by a sci-fi costume designer back in the late 2010s when they were actually making them.
Well, that makes sense because that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I think, I might be wrong, but I think it was the costume designer from Prometheus, where they based these off, or one of the people that worked on a lot of sci-fi like Prometheus. So it looks really, really cool, but, you know, they're also extremely functional, and it's also a private company, and we've never, ever seen a private company build a spacesuit, you know, to be used in the vacuum of space. So I think it's a really impressive thing, you know, if they do work, of course.
That's amazing. As soon as you said the Prometheus thing, yes, it absolutely looks like something from a Scott production. Was it Ridley Scott?
Very Ridley Scott-esque.
Yeah, so I mean, they look great. Will they work? We'll wait and see. I mean, the umbilical cord thing probably takes some of the sleekness out of it.
Yeah, well, it's just, I think the problem with the spacesuit is
they didn't put that in the picture.
No, I mean, they've released some like renders of, you know, astronauts floating around, and I think it's amazing that these suits, they almost look identical to the ones that they already wear inside the spacecraft. You know, they're not really thick and bulky. It's made of a lot of really thin fabric, so they have like tactile movement within their hands. And that's a big difficulty with spacewalks, is, you know, using your hands essentially, because you've got these massive, you know, chunky gloves that are all pressurized. And most of the suits that NASA uses, they were designed and built in the 80s. So I think it's a welcome change. I think they look really cool.
Great. And then finally, some events coming up at the Stardome, not least of which is a very exciting one for me, a particular film, which I just rewatched recently, being a bit of a sci-fi nerd myself, Arrival.
Oh, such a good film. Yeah, we've got our sci-fi at Stardome, which our next one is Arrival, which we're airing tomorrow. We've still got some tickets for that. Beautiful film. Such a cool film about, first contact. Love Arrival.
The thing I love about Arrival is it does that what most good sci-fi should do, which is you don't see the full scope of the ship. You know, there's just such a slow build, and you get all of the sense of scale by the way that it's edited together and shot. It's just that sense of impending sort of grandeur is built up throughout the movie. And I can only imagine, because I didn't see it on the big screen, what that would look like.
Oh, 100%. You have to get down to see it at Stardom if you haven't seen it, because if anyone watching, you know, loves Dune, which, incredible films, it's the same director, Dennis, who's, you know, the cinematography is amazing. And at the Stardom, we play it like on the big screen under the stars. So, yeah, it's very, very immersive and very cool.
Awesome. And you also have the 2024 Matariki season starting next week.
Yeah, we're just about to get back into our Matariki season. So our Matariki shows, which is Ngā Whetū o Te Toho, the Stars of the New Year, is starting next Tuesday, I believe. So, yeah, really, we're always really excited during Matariki, of course. And, you know, this is like the fourth year in a row that it's likely to be a sellout again, and that's, you know, multiple shows a night. So, yeah, definitely get in early if anyone wants to come along and learn more about Matariki.
That's fantastic. I actually learned how to read a star map to identify it using the...
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was very exciting, and it's very satisfying to be able to look up at the night sky and find the cluster of stars and see them there. So, head on down to the Stardome for Arrival and all of the... And to see Josh. Will you be there, Josh?
Probably will be there, yeah. If there are spare tickets, I'm going to go a lot, but it usually sells out.
All right. Thank you so much, Josh.
All right. Speak to you in a few weeks.
Cheers, mate. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.